It's good to see people getting back out and about, and it's good to see some those visiting with us today. We're excited. We're glad you're here. I've been doing a series of lessons on the fruit of the Spirit. So whenever I have opportunity, then I know what I'm talking about, and you know too then. So we've done love, joy, peace, patience. Today is kindness. Then we'll continue on with goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Kindness. Kindness sounds simple enough, right? You know, we start learning about kindness when we're little. You know, toddlers, preschool, kindergarten. Be kind to people, you know. So what does that mean exactly? We see kindness in our lives when there's great destruction or a natural disaster, for example. We see acts of kindness where people will get water and food and take it to people who have been a victim of a tornado or a hurricane or those kind of things. So we see those acts of kindness of things. And it sounds like it's something we should be good at, simple enough, something we shouldn't really need to study, right? But we don't always have it down. We don't always have it exactly. And sometimes we find ourselves maybe not in the mood for kindness. If you were in Walmart in Hanover yesterday, wasn't in the mood for kindness. It was busy, and there was tons of people, and there was even screaming kids. And it was like, man, you know. So everyday life brings us about situations where we might not feel like being so kind. Kindness in the Greek, the vast majority of the time, means usefulness, that is moral excellence. And I find that very interesting. So kindness isn't just a pat on the back or say, hey, how you doing, good job, or whatever, but a usefulness, an action that's taken to exhibit some kindness. So we're going to study some things today about kindness and see kindness from our God in hopes that that will spark us to be better at kindness in our lives. Let's pray together. Our Almighty Heavenly Father, it is a beautiful day that you have blessed us with. And we are mindful of just your power and your existence as we see signs of spring and life. And Father, we know that you are ultimately in control, that through cares and stresses and anxieties of the world, through things that we deal with in life, through things that we deal with in this physical world, that we look to you and know that ultimately our service, our gratitude, all of our being is to be focused on you. Father, we are thankful for, in spite of the sin that we entangle ourselves in, that you are kind to us, that you extend to us the kindness of your love and your grace. And Father, we pray this morning that as we study from your word, that we can better see your acts of kindness and how you have exhibited that to us. And in that we can be better at that kindness in our own lives. And Father, we are thankful for Jesus, who brings to us all blessings from you. It's in him, in his blessed and holy name we pray. Amen. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, Jesus says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And so kindness is easy, right? Kindness is easy to people you love because you love them. Kindness is easy to people you know because you know them. Kindness is easy to family and friends and brothers and sisters, right? Kindness to the world, oh, wait a minute. We're not always even kind to each other, right? Right? Okay, let's be real. We get tired and we get grumpy, and even our families we're not always kind to. Even our loved ones we're not always kind to. Even those that we do care for, we're not always kind to. And so now we come out to those that we have in the world and those people that really do just yank our chain or frustrate us, and then so we find it all the more difficult to be kind. Jesus says, you know, those people that love each other, they love each other and they exhibit things with each other because they have a certain bond. And so what reward is that? If you are just working to be kind to your family, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but if that's where you're working to be kind and that's where it stops, Jesus said, what reward is that? It's easier to be kind to your family because there is love there, because there is a family there. You know, it's outside of that where it starts to get uncomfortable. Biker gangs are kind to each other. I mean, within the gang, you know. I mean, not that I have experience there, but just from what I've seen and understand, right? You know, there's a brotherhood. There's a camaraderie there that people find even in groups like that. So when you get outside of that group, well, then there's the difficulty. It is in those times at Walmart when the lines are long and kids are screaming and people are all around. It is those times at work when those coworkers drive you nuts. It is those times out there on the highway when people are cutting you off. It is those times when exhibiting kindness becomes more of a challenge to us. And Jesus goes on to say, you know, if you just love and you just are kind, if you just exhibit things that I've given you to people that you love and care for anyway, hey, that's great, and we need to work at that. But it's outside of that really where the rubber hits the road, and that ultimately what we need to do is strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. This is one of those verses where you just kind of like to cross out, right? Because it's hard. It's hard. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And we realize that. And if we're honest with ourselves, we see that. We don't like people telling us we're not perfect. We don't like admitting we're not perfect. But the realization is we're not perfect. And Jesus doesn't put this out there so that we just say, you know what? I'm never going to achieve that, so let's give up. What Jesus gives us is the difference. What Jesus gives us is the tools and the ways and the means to be able to reach perfection. Because ultimately, how we want to be seen as perfect is through the eyes of God. The world may not see us as being perfect. We won't see each other as being perfect. And God knows I don't see myself as being perfect. We see each other's flaws. We see each other where we fall short. But it's how God looks at us in that perfection. It's how God views us through the blood of Jesus Christ that we achieve that perfection. And so that's where we want to strive. Strive in the blood of Jesus. Strive in the body of Christ. Strive in our relationships with Him so that we can achieve that perfection, seeing and knowing that we achieve that perfection in Him. And so it comes with kindness. And so the root of the motivation of our kindness isn't because I'm good at it or because I have all the tools and the means and the ability to do that. No, the way that I achieve being kind better is because I see and understand how God has been kind to me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and starting at verse 4. Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, wait, I missed the verse 7. One more. I was going to say, there was something I was missing there. Verse 7, "In order that in the ages to come He might show you the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." See, I'm not perfect. What I wanted to point out is, you know, we read verses like this and we key in on big stuff. We key in on the Jesus and what God did for us through Jesus. We key in on grace and we read right over words like kindness. But in the context of studying kindness, it might have popped out to you there in 7. That's why I was like, wait a minute, I'm missing something. It was in the next verse. But God gives us a number of things here that we're going to take a look at a little bit here. First of all, in verse 4, number 1, God is rich in mercy. And because of his great love, he gives us Jesus. So God is rich and he has great love. God is rich in mercy and he has great love. God doesn't ever run out of love. God doesn't ever run out of mercy. God doesn't run out of forgiveness. God doesn't run out of patience. God doesn't run out of kindness. And you have those days where you've just had enough, right? We have those days where my patience has had it. Moms and dads, right? We actually even say stuff like that. I've had it. I've reached my limit. And aren't you thankful we serve a God who doesn't have that kind of limit? Man, he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, I got more love. I got more grace. I got more forgiveness. I got more kindness. So that's where I'm looking. Don't look here. I run out. You know, look across the aisle. We run out. God is great in love. He's great in mercy. That's number one. So, and he loved us even when we, number two, were dead in our transgressions. It is a challenge sometimes to convey lessons or to convey teachings or convey in communication with people that you are just a dirty, low-down, miserable scoundrel and try to be nice about it. But here's the deal. I am dirty. I'm miserable. I'm lowly. I am a sinner. And if I present to you that, then I can begin to present to you that's where we all are. That's where we all are. And it's not an insult. It's a realization that sin is all of these things that we do wrong. Yes. But bigger than that, sin is a separation from God. And that's what we need to begin to see and get the picture of, that I can't do anything to get back to God. I can't do anything like that by myself. And if you can imagine, if you've seen the Grand Canyon in person, if you've seen pictures, you can see the pictures. Pictures don't do it justice. And yeah, it's pretty, but what struck me about the Grand Canyon is it's a big hole. It is a humongous hole that you look that way and you look that way and you look that way and all you see is a hole. And there's no way you can get across it. I mean, you'd go down and around and it takes 3 hours to drive around. It's a huge hole. Sin is bigger than that. Sin is a huge hole. Sin is a huge separation between us and God. And we are dead, dead in our transgressions. If we were to say to someone, you're dead to me. You don't get Hallmark cards that say that, right? Because you understand that's an insult. What that is you are dead to me, meaning I am not going to do anything else to acknowledge that you even exist. Now, hopefully no one's ever said that, but you know people have said that. Dead in our transgressions. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to get back to God. God bridges the hole. God builds the bridge that lets us overcome the gap. While we were dead, God gave us Jesus. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Number 3, he made us alive. So God says, I see that you're separated from me. I see that you need some help getting back. And I'll take care of that for you. God never runs out of energy in being able to help us bridge that gap. God never runs out of righteousness, the ability to just be right. God never runs out of holiness. God never runs out of that redeeming blood that cleanses us of sin, that is that separation from God. While we were dead, he made us alive. While we were dead, he allowed us to come back into his presence. And the beauty of that is just amazing. And I saw in the news, I think it was last night, that well, now I don't have the statistic. But anyway, it's what you do when you do off the top of your head. In the past month or couple of months, we've had all these days of cloudiness. We've only had like a handful of days of pure sunniness. And you know what that's like. You and I can relate to this. We have these days of raininess and cloudiness, and the sun might peek out. But yesterday we had a whole day of sunshine. And doesn't that make you feel something? I mean, and through the winter, don't you get excited for spring? Because there's something to getting out of the house. Isn't there something to being able to see life again, be able to flourish? The flowers starting to bloom, the green coming back in the lawns. You know, there's something to that. We understand the concept of being dead and coming back to life. If you've been in a hospital for a period of time and then be able to get, you walk out of that building and you feel the rays of sunshine on your face and you just feel like, yes, I'm alive. And every day, the ins and outs of life, and we get bogged down on the ins and outs of life, and we get bogged down sometimes even in our own sin, in our own shame, in our own guilt. And we carry all of this. We carry it. We carry it, and we get burdened, and we get weighed down. And we get so weighed down, sometimes we even get to the point where we say, God, you know what? I can't even stand in front of you. Because I am dead. Because the sin is so great, I can't even lift words of prayer. Man, I've done that. And it's wrong. God has made us alive in Jesus. God has says, I get it. I know that you have sinned. I know that you have done wrong. But I have given you Jesus. And I have resurrected you to a new life in Him. Paul writes these words and he says, you are alive. And so we say, we are alive. And even on cloudy days, even on those days when we stand and say, I don't even have the words, we can still say, I am alive in Jesus. And then in verse 6, and He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show us the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I don't do this by myself. You don't do this by yourself. None of us do this by ourselves. And God gives us the church to be able to be there for one another. But ultimately, it is in Christ Jesus. Notice that in verse 6. Raised up with Him. Seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am nothing without Jesus. And I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve any of it. It's God's kindness. Kindness in action. A moral excellence that God says, you know what? You don't deserve it. But I'm giving it to you anyway. Kindness. And so I don't have any excuse not to exhibit kindness in life, right? Ultimately, because of what God has given us. He says in Titus 3, verses 4 to 5, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. What God has given us is a gift. It's because of His kindness that He gives us the gift. We understand gifts, but we sometimes mix up our understanding of grace and what God has given us because we understand that going to a job, we merit a paycheck. We do something to earn a paycheck. And we tie ourselves up in spiritual knots sometimes because we let that mentality come into our spiritual understanding of things. Well, I have to do this, so God gives me that. I have to do this, so God gives me that, and so on. And God wants us to do things because parents want their children to learn how to behave, right? And if parents don't do anything to have their children behave, we view them as bad parents, right? That's just part of our society. And we have different definitions of that, but there are levels of understanding that, hey, we teach each other how to behave. There's a level of understanding of some kind of moral boundaries. Again, we start learning about kindness in preschool, in kindergarten. And it's not a religious thing. It's just that there's things that you do to your fellow mankind. You exhibit kindness. You know, you exhibit patience. You do those kinds of things. But what God gives us out of Him being kind is His grace, a gift that we don't deserve, that we don't work for in the sense that we earn it, but we do things out of appreciation for it. If someone gives you a gift, you don't just say, oh, cool, thanks, and then let it sit there. If you do, then we view that as you didn't really appreciate the gift. Right? We want you to, when we give a gift, we want the person we give the gift to use the gift. If I say to Kevin, Kevin, I'm going to buy you a DeWalt brushless 5-amp, 20-volt cordless drill with a belt clip. I'm not gonna, but if I said that and I gave it to Kevin and then Kevin put it on the shelf, I'd be like, dude, that's a cool tool. Why are you not using it? You would use it though, wouldn't you? He would, if he uses it and he appreciates it, it's because it's a gift and we use it. So the work that he does with it isn't a burden. The work that he does with it is because he appreciates the tool. If I give you tickets to Hershey Park, you get to use the tickets if you do the effort to get there. If you put forth the effort to put yourself in the park, even if you don't want to ride the rides, you can shop the shops, watch the shows, smell the chocolate, buy some chocolate. You don't get to do anything of that if you don't take advantage of the gift. God's given you free tickets into the greatest park we could ever know. God has given us the greatest gift we could ever get, His grace. His grace is, I know you're not good enough. I'm going to give you the gift anyway. I know you don't get it all right. I'm giving you the gift anyway. His love is an act of grace. His patience is grace. His kindness is grace. Baptism is an act of grace. You didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. How we deal with people is an act of grace because God's giving it to us. God gives us these things. Does that make sense? And we tie ourselves up in that. Kindness is given to us by God. It's all part of the big umbrella of grace. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Severity, but to you God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. God's kindness goes so far. God's grace goes so far. His forgiveness goes so far. Here's something God cannot do. He cannot go into sin and pull you out. Because God is not sin. John writes to us and uses the illustration of light and darkness. God is light, evil is darkness. And light cannot dwell in the darkness. He cannot go into sin and pull you out. The illustration of the prodigal son. The father did not go out and pull the prodigal son out of the pig pen. The son had to come to his senses and go home. Father's there with open arms. The Father's looking. He's waiting. He's wanting. And so we see that God's kindness goes so far. And then you have God's severity. So let's be on the side of the good side and the side of kindness, right? Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and starting at verse 31, Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with him. Then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of these, you did it to me. And then he will say to those on the left, hey, you saw me in these situations and you didn't do these things, and then depart from me. And then he will tell them to go away into the eternal punishment. So again, God's grace goes so far, his kindness goes so far, his forgiveness goes so far. But what we want to see is that, okay, there's two sides. There's the one or the other. And Alan brought this out weeks ago in his lesson. We can, however you paint it, ultimately it's you're for God or you're not. And so the picture is on judgment that there's a separation. There are those who have followed him. There are those who are not to him. But notice how he brings this out. As he says to those on the right, because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. And he says these things, so on and so forth. And what's interesting to me, and I want you to see this. I got to find it now. I lost it. In verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the least of me's. I'm sorry, one more. Let me back up. Verse 38. Verse 37. I'll get it right. Verse 37. The righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty or a drink? And so on. And so the picture is he has all of these in the separation there. And those that are in the good position, those on the right, those that are right before him, he'll say, look, you did these things and you did it right. And then they're standing there saying, when did we see you like this? Puzzled, as if, you know, asking the question. So that they're not out there saying, oh, thirsty guy, check. Hungry guy, check. Give this naked person some clothes, check. Go visit this person in prison, check. They're not checking the boxes. It wasn't a way of life to just, well, I'm going to do this because I got to be right with God. Or I'm going to do that just to be right with God. What they were doing was acts of kindness. I mean, to anyone in the world, wouldn't we view that as an act of kindness? Don't we see that in everyday life? If there's a natural disaster, the first thing we want to do is get them water. We get them clothes. We get them food. We take care of those things. Even the world, not understanding a relationship with God, would view these things as acts of kindness. Do the drink, do the food, do the clothes. And they're saying, when did we see you like this? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And so kindness isn't about, we'll just check the boxes. Kindness is about exhibiting what we have seen and understood God to give us just in everyday life. As part of our life, as part of our being, as part of who we are. So we're not out there just checking the boxes because it's what God wants us to do. We're out there doing nice things. We're out there doing acts of kindness because we have been exhibited kindness, because we have been given kindness, because what God has given us is kindness. And we see what he's given us, and so we want to give that back out to the world just as a genuine part of our life. Simple acts of kindness every day that is a part of should be a part of our being, should be a part of what we do before God. Finally, then to close in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." It's just awe-inspiring. It's so big. It's so huge. Just try and stand and comprehend all of what God has given us. And sometimes it's just so cool how Paul just puts it so simply. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Compassionate with one another. Forgiving one another. Why? Because God has forgiven you. I'm a sinner. I stand before God dirty. I stand before God not being able to do all of what I know I need to do. Doing things I know I shouldn't and not doing things I know I should. And the Apostle Paul writes that in Romans. And he had that. And all of us as mankind are in that. Because none of us can do what God fully, wholly wants us to do. And that's part of the point for us to see and understand. Because of God's kindness, He gave us a way back to Him. Because of God's kindness, He gave us Jesus. Because of God's kindness, He gives us forgiveness. He gives us grace. Or it's all under the umbrella of grace, I think. But because of His kindness, He gives us a means to be able to stand in His presence. And so in daily life, when we're running out of steam, and we have just had enough, remember God's kindness. If there is anything we can do to help you this morning in remembering God's kindness, or come to act in obedience to Him for what He has done for us through kindness, His own kindness toward us, then we offer this song of invitation. Come forward as we stand and sing.